So you're reading first canto, second chapter, yeah, text number 7. Vasudeve Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayatyasu Vairagyam, Jnanam Chaya Dahaitukam. Okay, translation. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So, second chapter is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. It's a very, very important chapter. It summarizes practically the whole Krishna conscious philosophy. In the first chapter, of course, you had the first three verses, which are the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, defining the objective of the Bhagavatam and what we want to achieve from this Bhagavatam. Then you had the questions by the sages. Sonaka Rishi and the sages had their six questions which they would put to the Lord. In the first chapter, six questions were there. And they also described the quality. Sonaka Rishi describes also the qualification of the speaker and also the audience, that both the speaker and the audience have to be properly qualified. And Sonaka Rishi glorifies Sutta Goswami, that he feels he is the proper person to lead them across the dangerous ocean of Kali. So then, the previous verse to the one we're reading today is the answer to one of the questions which was put. Does anybody remember? The previous verse, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo. Yeah. So what was the question put by the sages, which this verse answers? Yes, right. Yes, that was the question. They wanted to know, please tell us what is for the ultimate good, ultimate and absolute good for all people. So this verse, Savai Pum Samparo Dharmo, was spoken, describing that the ultimate good for all people is devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So the verse we're reading today continues to describe why this devotional service is so important. What is it? When we perform devotional service, there should be the proper result of devotional service. Sometimes people wonder, they feel, I don't know if I'm making advancement or not. I've been chanting Hare Krishna a long time and I think I'm just the same as before. Sometimes people even say, you know, I feel worse than I was before. They say, I think I'm becoming more fallen. So it's mentioned here, what is the result of devotional service? Two things, knowledge and detachment, gyan and vairag. That these two things follow wherever there is devotional service. Prabhupada's godbrother, B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, was asked one time, how can we understand the value of the different religious processes? There are so many different religious systems and different faiths in the world. How can we understand their relative merits? Which ones are more valuable and more powerful than others? So, Sridhar Maharaj gave the example. he explained, he said, just like in the world, there are different currencies. You know, you have American dollar and Singapore dollar, and then you have also a Malaysian dollar. And there's different dollars, even the name may be dollar, but the currencies have different strengths. And the strength of each currency is determined, or supposed to be determined, based on the gold reserves. In proportion to the gold reserves, the currency. Sometimes the IMF, sometimes they'll devalue a country's currency. You know, they feel that their currency shouldn't be so strong, and they'll devalue it. Some years back, they devalued a lot of Asian countries' currencies. So it's all based on the gold reserves. And similarly, in religious systems, there is also gold reserve in terms of our religious faith. And this is based on these two things, gyan and vairag, knowledge and detachment. This knowledge, of course, is not ordinary, mundane knowledge. We're not interested in what is your material education or your IQ or anything, but it's how much we have cultivated factual knowledge and realization of the Supreme Lord and His different energies. And vairag is also a detachment from material activities, any activity which is not in connection with the Supreme Lord. A devotee may be living in even opulent conditions, but if he is dedicating everything for the service of the Lord, he is totally detached. He is a real vairagi. We do not have to artificially renounce, but real renunciation is yukta vairagya, in relationship with the Supreme. Other types of renunciation is simply falgu vairag, giving up the material without understanding how to utilize the material. A devotee has gyan, and that gyan works in cooperation with his mood of vairag, that he utilizes the world, he utilizes the material energy for the service of the Supreme Lord. We will talk more about this. Let us go through Prabhupada's purport. Those who consider devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, to be something like material emotional affairs, may argue that in the revealed scriptures, sacrifice, charity, austerity, knowledge, mystic powers, and similar other processes of transcendental realization are recommended. According to them, bhakti, or the devotional service of the Lord, is meant for those who cannot perform the high-grade activities. Generally, it is said that the bhakti cult is meant for the sudras, vaishyas, and the less intelligent women class. Did you know that? This is, of course, the opinion of the smarter brahmanas, you know, jati brahmanas. They may have that opinion that this Hare Krishna people, you know, these are all just sentimentalists. They don't have any gyan. Of course, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was condemned that he was, when he was chanting in Benares, Prakashananda Sarasati and the Mayavadi sannyasis were in predominance, and they saw Mahaprabhu in the dress of a sannyasi but chanting and dancing. So they said he's simply a sentimentalist. Or they thought maybe he's a magician. He's got some mystic power and he's coming to cheat the people. You know, they thought he must have some evil intention. They doubted. So, of course, Prabhupada also faced the same kind of criticism when he brought his devotees to different parts of the world, especially in India, that people thought, at one point they thought the Hare Krishna devotees are all CIA agents, you know, and they're coming to overthrow the government. But there is this opinion among the high class society, the higher social orders, caste Brahmins and such like, that the bhakti cult is for sentimentalists, less educated people, and particularly the Vaishya, Sudra, Vaishya, and women. Of course, it seems like they never read Bhagavad Gita, because in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Striyo Vaishyas Tata Sudras Te Piyanti Param Gatim, that even though they be of low birth, but they can approach the supreme destination if they take shelter of me. And this is stated in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And so, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has already confirmed that anyone, regardless of their birth, can take shelter of him and achieve the supreme destination. However, this kind of criticism is often raised by these people. They will say, well, we don't accept Bhagavad Gita. All right? Because they will say, Bhagavad Gita, this is Smriti. We only accept Shruti. So then you have to argue on the basis of Shruti. The fact is that devotion to Krishna is available for people of all different social positions. It is not limited to any class. But they say that these people of high birth, they claim that if you had been born in a better social condition, then you would be able to take up a better process. And they describe these different processes. Prabhupada mentions, you know, such things as sacrifice, charity, austerity, knowledge, mystic powers. That these things are also recommended. And the bhakti cult is just for the unqualified people. But these other processes, this is for people who are actually qualified. But we see among the bhakti cult, there are many brahmanas. There are also very highly educated people, and there are great philosophers who are also born in Brahmin families. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was born in a Brahmana family, and he was propagating the bhakti cult. So it is certainly nothing to do with birth. Prabhupada then goes on. The bhakti cult is the topmost of all transcendental activities, and therefore it is simultaneously sublime and easy. It is sublime for the pure devotees who are serious about getting in contact with the Supreme Lord, and is easy for the neophytes who are just on the threshold of the house of bhakti. So Prabhupada is opening the door here that it does not matter if you're an advanced person, you may be very advanced, or you may be a total neophyte, but both persons can feel the potency of bhakti, of devotional service to the Lord. They will feel the spiritual pleasure. As Prabhupada says, for the advanced personality, they will take pleasure, they can experience directly the relationship with the Lord. And for the neophyte, they can also take pleasure in the bhakti cult. It is enjoyable. We see people can come and chant and dance, young children, elderly people, everyone. Doesn't matter who they are. So this is the nature of bhakti yoga. That it is easy, but at the same time we know also it's not so easy. You know, we say it's easy, but you know, when you start to go into it, in different places, Prabhupada will say that actually bhakti is not so easy. Sometimes people say bhakti is just too easy, right? They say that's too easy, just to sit and hold the beads and chant the same mantra every time. You know, that's too easy. We want to do something more difficult. So Prabhupada explains that actually bhakti is not so easy, that if you're going to do it according to the rules and regulations, if you're going to follow it strictly, then it's actually not so easy. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchara Triki Vidim Vinam Aikantiki Hurer Bhakti Utpatayaiva Kaupati. That devotional service, when it is not performed according to the different scriptures, like the Shruti and the Smriti and the Puranas and Itihas, then it becomes a disturbance to the society. And this was the situation prior to the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that people were performing devotional service, but they were not performing it according to the rules and regulations. And it simply created disturbance in the society, and people rejected it. But when we follow according to the scriptures, then that is good. And of course, it's not so easy. It's easy to talk about it. It's easy to say what you have to do. But to get people to do it, that is a different thing. Right? Of course, it's easy enough to say what you have to do. You have to chant 16 rounds. They can say, well, that's easy. You just have to chant Hare Krishna. And you have to chant 16. Okay, so then do it. But how many people can do it? You see, that's another thing. And we say, it's easy to follow four regulative principles. You know, but then how many people do it? That is another thing. So, in other places, Prabhupada says the reason why so many people take to impersonalism is that is easy. That is it's the easiest, the philosophy is very easy to accept. That we're all one. There's a oneness. You know, people like to hear that. They like to hear that they're one with God. They're equal to God. We're all God. You know, oh yeah, I've always wanted to be God. Now you've told me I'm God. I'm so glad, you know. It's just what I wanted. So that's why impersonalism, you know, many people take to impersonalism because it satisfies their mind, you know, that. But if you tell them you have to be the servant, you know, you have to surrender, you know, that is not so, no, that's not so nice, you know, it's not so easy to accept. Okay. So to achieve the contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is a great science, and it is open for all living beings, including the Sudras, Vaishyas, women, and even those lower than the low-born Sudras. So what to speak of the high-class men, like the qualified Brahmanas and the great self-realized kings? The other high-grade activities designated as sacrifice, charity, etc., are all corollary factors following the pure and scientific bhakti cult. Within bhakti, then there is also sacrifice, charity, and austerity on all of these different things. These things, these different activities, can all be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Sacrifice, you know, we also sacrifice. We sacrifice for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord Krishna. We sacrifice our time. We may even donate money. We sacrifice some income, of our material wealth for the service of the Lord. Sacrifice charity. Of course, we're saying we do that to support the temples. There's charity. And then austerity, we accept the austerity of following regulative principles, only talking about Krishna. You know, that is also an austerity, controlling the tongue to only speak about Krishna and to control the senses for the service of Krishna. So that is austerity. It's not that we give up all of these things, but we do these things in relation to devotional service. Ekadasi, yesterday also, we do some fasting on Ekadasi. That is also some austerity. On the appearance days of the incarnations of the Lord, we also observe fasting. So these things are austerities. Going to holy places and visiting temples and so on, there's also some austerities involved. So all of these things are not given up, but they're done in relation to Krishna, in relation to devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada said, these are corollary factors. They're related to the devotional service. Then Prabhupada goes on, second paragraph of the purport. The principles of knowledge and detachment are two important factors on the path of transcendental realization. The whole spiritual process leads to perfect knowledge of everything material and spiritual. And the results of such perfect knowledge are that one becomes detached from material affection and becomes attached to spiritual activities. Becoming detached from material things does not mean becoming inert altogether, as men with a poor fund of knowledge think. Right? So, they're thinking, men with a poor fund of knowledge think that to become detached from material things, you have to become inert. You have to become, you know, like a dead man, you know, like a stone or something. You just sit, you know, and they think, oh, very great, samadhi. You know, they think this is great. That he's so detached, you know, he's no action. But this is not actually detachment. This is, well, what we said, falgu vairagya, the false renunciation. And this is not a natural condition. This is not the process of actually detaching ourselves from the material world. Because these material things are created, they must have some purpose. A devotee understands the purpose of the material energy. We utilize the material energy for the service of Krishna. Prabhupada gives a simple example that the man is walking along Nampali Station Road when all of a sudden he sees lying in the street 1,000 rupee note. Oh, look at this. 1,000 rupee note lying in the street. So, there are three things he can do. One thing, he can be a vairagi and say, Maya. I'm not going to touch it. Just leave it there. You know, let the crows eat it or something. Let the motor cars run it into the tar. But I'm not going to touch it. It's Maya. If I touch it, my hands will be dirty and stained. So I just leave it there. Another thing he can do, he can take it, put it in his own pocket, and go off to the Pulareddy sweet shop and buy and have a big feast, right? But the other thing, the third thing he can do is take the money and bring it to Madan Mohan and put it in the donation box, right? And say, this is Madan Mohan's money, I have to give it to the Lord for the service of the Lord. So that is actual renunciation, you see. When you recognize that Radha Madan Mohan is the supreme proprietor, and we give everything for their pleasure. Okay, so then Prabhupada speaks about this nice karmya. Nice karmya means not undertaking activities that will produce good or bad effects. Negation does not mean negation of the positive. Right, so activities, nice karmya, means not undertaking activities that will produce either good or bad effects. A devotee is not interested in doing either punya or pap. He's not interested in simply doing pious activities or in sinful activities, right? He's interested only in transcendental activities, service of the Lord. If you do some good, even you do some good deed, you know, it keeps you in the material world. You give some money for the hospital or the old people's home, it keeps you in the material world to go to another hospital or to go to the old people's home, you know. But if you give for Krishna, then you can go to be with Krishna. Negation does not mean negation of the positive. Negation of the non-essentials does not mean negation of the essential. Negation of the non-essential does not mean negation of the essential. What is Prabhupada talking about here? The non-essential, what is the non-essential? Simply, the non-essential are things which are not in relation to Krishna. All the things which are in relation to our own sense gratification. So, we can give up the sense gratification. We can negate these non-essentials, but we don't have to negate the essential. What is essential? Essential are those activities which are in relation to Krishna. Just like in this material world, we have many different things to do. So we do not just give up everything, just to stop everything, do nothing. But we do everything in relation to Krishna. Essential, we have this material body. We have to maintain this body. And we can do it in Krishna consciousness. We use the body for Krishna's service. We eat food which is offered to Krishna. We take rest so that we can have energy to do more service for Krishna the next day. We take care of our family because our family are also devotees of Krishna. And we want to keep them in Krishna consciousness. So these things are essential. We do not give up the essentials, but we give up the non-essentials. Right? Non-essentials. We don't need cigarettes and tobacco. We don't need all the movies. We don't need all the newspapers so much. You know, we can do without a lot of things. There's many different things in the material world we can do without. But we need the essentials. Essentials are dovetailed in Krishna's service. Prabhupada goes on, similarly, detachment from material forms does not mean nullifying the positive form. The bhakti cult is meant for realization of the positive form. When the positive form is realized, the negative forms are automatically eliminated. So there are positive forms and negative forms. The material body is the negative form. The spiritual body is the positive form. We want devotees, we want to see all living entities as spiritual beings, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Right? The living Vijabhinaya Sampani Brahmini Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Swapake Cha Samo Pandita Darshana. There is Paramatma vision, seeing all living entities equal. The Brahmana, learned and gentle Brahmana, elephant, cow, dog, and dog eater. We see the positive form. We see the Lord in the heart of every living entity. And so devotees are not callous. We understand all living entities have their spiritual part of life.
Prabhupada goes on, therefore, with the development of the bhakti cult, with the application of positive service to the positive form, one naturally becomes detached from inferior things and he becomes attached to superior things. Of course, this is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, that the body, spirit, soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagement by experiencing a higher pleasure, then he is fixed in consciousness. So devotee wants to get this higher taste, param drisvar nivartate. We don't just want to be trying to restrict ourselves from activities, because the soul's nature is desire. We try to stop desire and conquer. We want to give up desire, but that is artificial. Lord Buddha taught that the cause of suffering was desire. So his Buddhist followers, they try to negate desire. They want to stop all desire and make the mind completely blank. Therefore, you know, the Buddhists and impersonalists also, they spend their time meditating. If you go for a retreat at the Buddhist temple, then you simply go and sit and you don't talk to anybody. And you don't hear also. You just simply go and sit. Right? And then there's lunch. And then the afternoon, then you do more. And then the evening again, you know. Like that, three times a day, you know. And don't talk to anybody. So that's because they're negating everything. They think the cause of our suffering is desire. So we want to stop desire. Stop the mind. Make it empty. But Prabhupada gives the example. If the glass is empty, then the pollution, different things in the air, are all going to enter into the glass. It's not going to remain empty for very long. Empty is not the natural condition. In the same way, you cannot simply make the mind blank for very long. You make it blank for some time, and then again something will come in. Prabhupada explains how so many persons thinking in this way, they retire to the Himalayas, they go to some mountain place, some remote place, and they go into seclusion. But then after some time, then they come back again. And they come back, and then what do? They open the school, they open the hospital, they do welfare activities in the material world. That now I have done my penance and austerities, now I have realized the goal of life, and I have come back to deliver all of you. We have to open a school and teach mundane knowledge, and a hospital to take care of the material bodies. They do not know what are spiritual activities. Because the soul, they have a craving for activity. Therefore, they take up mundane welfare activities because they do not know what are actual spiritual activities. This is the confidential knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is Raja Vidya. You know, we have this knowledge. We know how to keep ourselves engaged. We do not have time to take up welfare activities, to go and feed the poor or take care of the sick or these things, because we are so busy with spiritual activities. If we simply, there are already so many societies doing these welfare activities. So let them do it. We have to do the more important work, teaching spiritual knowledge. Because the hospitals are just preparing people to take another birth. The schools are also preparing for another birth. They'll all have to come, they're coming back again in the material world. But we're preaching Krishna consciousness to get people out of the material world, so that they can get free from this material body forever. Prabhupada then goes on. Similarly, the bhakti cult, being the supermost occupation of the living being, leads him out of material sense enjoyment. That is the sign of a pure devotee. He is not a fool, nor is he engaged in the inferior energies, nor does he have material values. This is not possible by dry reasoning. It actually happens by the grace of the Almighty. In conclusion, one who is a pure devotee has all other good qualities, namely knowledge, detachment, etc. But one who has only knowledge or detachment is not necessarily well acquainted with the principles of the bhakti cult. Bhakti is the supermost occupation of the human being. So we should understand properly this verse, that we are not being encouraged to cultivate jnana or vairagya independent of bhakti. Sometimes people think that we have to become great scholars, and they forget about their devotion to Krishna, and they just try to read lots of books, and they don't do the devotional activities, just simply want to become scholars. And other people may want to become great renunciates, doing a lot of vairag, a lot of austerities, tapasya, but forgetting the bhakti principle. And the result is simply the heart becomes harder. If we forget Krishna, then it's all lost. We have to cultivate our jnana and vairag side by side with bhakti. The important thing is our devotion for Krishna. So all of our activities are done in relation to developing devotion for Krishna. We hear the scriptures in a devotional mood to cultivate more devotion for Lord Krishna. And we do our austerity, just like on Ekadasi, when some days when we're fasting, we do this for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. There's nothing separate from Krishna, it's all for His pleasure. And in this way, we cultivate qualities. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Harava bhaktasya kato mahatgana manoratena sati bhavato bahi. That one who is a devotee, he will have all the good qualities. Just because of his devotion to Krishna, the good qualities automatically follow. The example is given that just like when a king comes, then so many other ministers and other powerful people, they will all follow the king. So wherever the Supreme Lord is present, all of the demigods are also there bestowing their blessings on whoever is a devotee of the Supreme Lord. But for one who is not a devotee, even though he may be very expert in maintaining his family, or he may be even very expert in mystic yoga, but if he is not a devotee of the Lord, he does not have any good qualities because he's still under the modes of the material nature. He's struggling with the different material energy. Sometimes he's in goodness, sometimes passion, and sometimes ignorance. There's a mixing of the modes there. But one who is engaged in the Lord's service, he is on the transcendental platform. Mam chayo vayabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunam samatichaikam brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Anyone who engages in devotional service without falling down, then they come to the level of Brahman. They're above the modes, right? Devotional service is performed above the modes of nature. So in this way, devotee develops all good qualities. Jnana and vairag, they will naturally follow a devotee. Everyone who is doing bhakti, they are also developing their jnana and vairag. We're losing our interest in material enjoyment. Prabhupada describes how the devotees, that he said that they're not interested anymore to go to the cinema house and watch some movie.
They just want to come and chant and dance to see the deities and to hear the scriptures. And this way they utilize their time. That is the greatest renunciation. And they're cultivating their knowledge of the nature of this material world. They're losing their interest in all kinds of sense enjoyment. They have the opportunity for so much sense enjoyment. They are educated people. They can make lots of money if they want, but they're not interested. So many times devotees are invited to marriage parties or to business meetings where all types of food and other things are available, but they have no interest. In fact, they find it disgusting even. So that is the nature of devotional service. That we're no longer drawn to the material energy. We cannot enjoy the material world. So this is the blessing of Krishna consciousness. That you can no longer enjoy the material world, right? Before becoming devotees, we were great enjoyers. We were mad for sense gratification. But after giving up, after becoming devotee of Krishna and turning away from the material world, we are mad for Krishna. So Prabhupada wrote his article, "Who is Crazy?" Because, you know, people, when you become a devotee, people will say, "You must be crazy. You know, why you're doing this? Why you don't eat this? Why you don't eat that? Why you don't go here and do that?" You know? They say, "You must be crazy." So they say we are crazy, and we say they are also crazy. So this is the application of devotional service. And how much we are advancing in Krishna consciousness, we can understand by how much we are inclined towards sense gratification. That we can understand how is the barometer. No, Prabhupada gives the example of the barometer in Sri Ishopanishad. The person may have, in material life, people are like a person with a fever. The materialistic people, they want to increase the fever. Right? They want to enjoy more. They want to have more sense gratification. They're always thinking more. A bigger, you know, the car. And then the bigger car, and the faster car, and the bigger house, and more servants, more jewelry, more clothes, right? We want to increase the fever. Prabhupada tells a story, the doctor was called to the home, two people had got fever. One was the man's wife, and the other was the servant of the man in his house. He had some servant and he had all his wife there also. So both his wife and her servant had fever. So the doctor looked at his wife and said, "Oh, your wife has a little fever. Nothing to worry about. She'll be okay very soon." But when he looked at the servant, "Oh, this servant's fever is very bad. We'll have to immediately give her special medicine, take care of her." So when the man's wife heard about this, he said, "Why? Why like that? I am the wife. My fever should be more than her." Right? Is that my house? My husband? I should have fever more. So material world like that. We want to increase the fever. Right? But the impersonalists, they want to make the fever nothing. You know, if the doctor comes and gives the injection and the patient dies. Yeah, the family go, oh, he's dead. And doctor say, "Huh, fever's gone." Right? No more fever. So this is impersonalism. You see, they want to make the fever zero. But what is it? What's supposed to do is supposed to bring the body to healthy temperature, right? Should be healthy, should be natural. Some heat is there in the body, but should not be too great, should not be zero also. So this is Krishna consciousness, you see. By process of devotional service, we do bhakti yoga for the pleasure of Krishna, then the body comes to the natural temperature. Yeah, we have interest for hearing and chanting. Our interest is for Krishna's service. We're not concerned about other things. We're not in anxiety for anything other than Krishna's service. Any question, comments, anything?
Maharaj, like as you said in morning class, like even kirtan also, like we are doing for our own pleasure rather than for doing for the pleasure of the Lord. So similarly, like many, although we are practicing Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees, but more of the tendency is to like enjoying Krishna consciousness rather than pleasing Lord. Like how to change that tendency and fully diverting and focusing on and the pleasure of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, the point is that we do it for Krishna's pleasure, and by serving Krishna, we also get pleasure. You see, it's not that we do it for Krishna and at the same time, you know, we don't enjoy it. You know, we serve Krishna. By serving Krishna, we also feel pleasure. Not only do we feel pleasure, actually everyone should feel pleasure from service to Krishna. The example is given, when you water the root of the plant, then all the leaves and branches are nourished. So in the same way, you do some service for Krishna. You know, if Krishna is pleased, we will also feel pleased. You know, and all the devotees also will feel pleased. You shouldn't feel that by serving Krishna, we're not pleasing ourselves. Rather, our nature, our original nature is that we want to please Krishna. And when we serve Krishna, we feel the greatest satisfaction, the greatest pleasure. In the material world, you may work in a company and so on. It's very difficult to get pleasure and to please people. But Krishna can be pleased so easily, naturally. We simply do some simple offering, a leaf, a flower, fruit, water, simple things. And just by doing these things and recognizing Krishna's proprietorship, then we also feel pleasure. We feel that we have done the right thing. You know, when you do things the right way, then that in itself is pleasing to us. We feel the mind is peaceful, and you feel satisfaction. In the scriptures, an example is given that just like when a hungry person eats food, so in the beginning he has, you know, he's very hungry, he hasn't eaten a meal for the whole day, and he comes home at night, he's ravenous, you know, he's so hungry. So then he starts to eat. So immediately, first thing, he feels some relief from hunger. And then he starts to feel nourishment. He's getting strength. And finally, he feels satisfied. You see? So devotional service is like that also. You take up devotional service that in the beginning, we're frustrated, and we're anxious, and mind is not peaceful at all. There's so much distress and tension in our mind. But then we start to do devotional service. You're doing some service for Krishna. And you feel immediately relief from distress. Your mind starts to become peaceful. And as you feel the relief from distress, then you feel also detachment from the material existence. You forget about all the problems and tensions and anxiety which are there, maybe in your home or in your job or your school or education, whatever. You know, you forget about and you become a bit detached because we're serving Krishna. And finally, then we awaken that loving relationship also with Krishna. So this is the idea. You just serve Krishna and we will feel pleasure. we don't do devotional service to become miserable. You know, we're doing, why are we all here? You know, because we get pleasure in this. You know, nobody pays us to sing and dance, you know, chant and dance and do all of these things. But why do we do it? Because we feel so much pleasure in it. You know, I was seeing people this morning, they were so happy dancing. You know, everybody was happy chanting, dancing. Nobody was paying them to dance. You know, not like some Bollywood movie or something, you know. They're all dancing, you know, but, you know, they're not dancing just because they get pleasure in it. So that is devotional service. That it is by nature, it is pleasing. In the 9th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitramidamutamam Prakyakshwavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kirtam Avyayam. Susukam Kirtam Avyayam. That is joyfully performed. Yeah, devotional service is joyfully performed. If you do it grudgingly, if you say, oh, I have to do this, why ask me to do it? Why don't you ask somebody? Then it's not devotional service. That's not devotional service. The nature of devotional service is that we want to do it pleasingly for Krishna's pleasure. You know, if you're just simply doing some service because somebody told you to do it and you do it grudgingly, that's not devotional service. That's something else. It shouldn't be like that. No, you should appreciate if somebody gives you some service to do, we should feel very glad. Oh, I'm so lucky. One devotee just came to me this morning, came from Bangalore, and he told me, he said, there's so many devotees there, I can't find any service to do. He said, they won't let me do any service. But before, when he was in a small temple in Hong Kong, there was always so much service to do. But now you come to Bangalore and there's so many people, so many devotees, and there's not much service to do. Everybody's got their thing. That's my service. Hey, you're cleaning the floor. That's my service. I clean the floor. You know. So we have to appreciate devotional service. So valuable thing, you know. When you get it, you know, you're so fortunate. We should value it. Do it pleasingly, with great pleasure. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.